Bruce.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for coming and taking your time out of your day to do this.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
This is, well, like I said, this is something that we were chatting a little bit before, and I was like, we've wanted to have you on here for so long. Mm-hmm. We did a little intro before where we sort of intro the guest and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And we were sort of being like, thinking back to the early days when we started this, and we're like, we got to get Bruce LaRusse on the pod. I think it'd be a great conversation. It fits into everything that we're like, we talk about, especially the history of Toronto and things like that, mm-hmm. how things changed and whatnot. And
Boronto.
Okay, this is what I'm talking about.
From the man himself.
This is what I'm talking about. But it's
as
funny.
As I refer to it to all my international friends, which is probably why they never come to visit me.
Well, hold on. So let's just dive into that. Do you think Toronto is just completely boring?
You know, I think it's lost something just because it's gotten so, but so has every other city, because it's gotten so expensive.
Like, yeah.
Obviously the venues, like the affordable music venues. So, you know, when you just think back when Scott Pilgrim was shot in my neighborhood, like yeah. I live at Bloor and Spadina, right?
So, yeah.
I mean, that whole, I actually missed the whole shoot because I was in Europe or something when it was shot. But what was that, 2000 and
that was 2007? Yeah,
I mean,
something
like that.
I'll never forget that because so many friends of mine were cast as extras in that.
Right. Right. It was a big deal. And I actually never saw it until about 2 years ago. I saw it on a plane.
Yeah.
Like on Air Canada. And I mean, you know, the city was so, right up until that time, like it was known for its live music venues and bands could still afford rehearsal spaces here and all that stuff. So that kind of stuff. And then just also just like affordable art galleries or spaces for more independent stuff and kind of startup stuff, you know, it's kind of made it a little.
No, it definitely feels like there's a 100%. Bit of a lull, and it's actually quite interesting that you mentioned like 2008 or around that time as being like maybe the death of it, because you're kind of right.
100%.
Like I never really thought about it like as picking up exactly, because I think like, you know, the obvious answer that you could have said would be like, oh, and then like in the 90s it died or whatever, but it's like no, things kept going,
or later, like the pandemic, which kind of killed it as well. I mean, Toronto has bounced back less sort of obviously than any other city I've been to. I mean, I think it really kind of you know, it's partly because Canadians are so you know, conscientious, and they took it all very seriously, and you know, there really was nobody on the streets for so long, and there was a bit of paranoia mixed in with it, and I just for me, it's like visibly kind of more a little tamer, a little more kind of less sort of street action, like just street traffic and stuff, just you still see businesses boarded up and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So, and if you go to, I mean, obviously, if you go to a huge metropolis like London or Berlin, it's like, it's as if it never happened.
Yeah. I know, it's somehow just like the exact same.
Yeah.
But I think here is specifically a city that, like, when I have many friends who leave and come back, or have left and come back to visit, there's so much of this, holy shit, the city looks and feels completely different.
Yeah.
Where when I leave other places that I've visited and I go back, I'm constantly just like, oh, I feel like I'm right at home. And New York is a very easy example.
Nothing lasts in this city, which is big.
Well, and it's a bit of disaster capitalism too, because obviously after the pandemic, the kind of developers and the real estate people like moved in and really kind of started, you know, taking over whole neighborhoods, and
I know, it's
so it's accelerated all that, and and that really has an effect on the city, and then the fact that just the architecture is so shitty, and
that has such an effect on just like the general psyche and just like willingness to make new shit or like try new shit or have fun, because when you're surrounded by ugly, grotesque, boring architecture, that's your attitude, you know?
Yeah.
I think it has a direct correlation.
Well, even when I think of your film, No Skin Off My Ass, like it's shot in Toronto.
Yeah.
And there's like, I'm looking at this being like, I mean, at least then it kind of felt, it didn't have the what I would call, I've used this joke many times, but like Emerald City, you know, yeah. every fucking condo building is that same emerald color.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I would say describes the city now. But looking back, you see that you just see.
Even like I was watching Super 8.5 too. And like that one, like Zanzibar, for some reason, that hasn't changed. Like that's like one of the few places that looks relatively
the exterior.
The same,
yeah.
But it feels so much different too. Yeah. And like all the places around.
But that whole strip was kind of one of the little kind of spots of glamour, like on, mm-hmm. on Yonge Street with the A&A record sign and the what was it, Capitol
record? It was
Sam's record
sign. Sam's and it was kind of a little hub, and it was like open late. Actually, I had my brother-in-law was the manager of the classical section at Sam's or something. So like, in there all the time. And not that I bought classical music, but but yeah, and just, you know, if you've been here as long as I have, when I moved to the city in 79, I actually spent, 81, I think, to go to York. And so I've been here since really the early 80s. And yeah, it was, there was a certain glamour to it. It was, Yonge Street was really seedy. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of street traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, even on like a week night, there'd be like a lot of street traffic on Yonge Street, and in general, like in even in like on Spadina or on Queen or on Dundas or College, or you know, there was a lot of people out and about, and there was a lot of really cool. It wasn't really trying to compete in the 80s, like compete with New York, like it did then later on, I think, like in the 90s.
Yeah, and it still does.
Yeah. But at that time, it was its own little thing. It was like the place where everyone, it was like going down the road, you know. Our favorite movie about Toronto, where, which I think is an incredibly glamorous movie, and it's about like East Coasters like coming to Toronto. And for them, it's like a big fucking deal. Like, you know, it's like
Was it a big deal for you?
It's a metropolis. Yeah, for sure. But it had its glamour, because I mean, it had, for as a gay man, I mean, it had like five, you know, dedicated gay saunas, 24-hour gay saunas, that were, and back in those days, in the 80s and early 90s, there was like lineups to get into them on weeknights.
Really?
Yeah, to some of them.
That's so sick.
Yeah, and the gay bars too. I mean, the gay bars started on Yonge Street, and they were pretty glamorous. I mean, they had names like Stages and The Quest. And
The Quest. Yeah. The Quest is so sad. So good.
Yeah. And Showbiz, you know, which is down farther, like Yonge and Dundas.
It's so interesting to hear that, because like, as someone who grew up in Toronto, but obviously like later, you know, there was almost nothing glamorous about it in my eyes growing up.
Mm.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the East End.
Yeah.
And then, so like, I mean, I was like Woodbine and Danforth.
Okay.
But you
where,
know, like,
where Drake's new venue is.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Right near history.
I definitely, like, growing up in a small town, coming to Toronto, there was glamour.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's just the.
Well, for me, glamour was the Ice Capades. You know, I would go to see the Ice Capades like, when I was 15 or 12 or something.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is amazing. But then you'd be on the bus, like on the school bus on the way to the Ice Capades, and you'd drive along Yonge Street and you'd see all these freaks like on Yonge Street. And that made it really glamorous. Like I get a glimpse of what,
Of what
the
was
underbelly of the city was.
And so how soon from when you moved to the city did you immerse yourself in this culture of just, you know, the underbelly and like, cause I mean, it's obviously as people that listen to this are like, some are a bit younger, but like, you know, you forget this and Austin is younger than I am, but like in a pre-internet age, you know, so much of self-discovery and like finding your people and the underground, like me and my friends are just so used to it being like discovered on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's always fascinated me to figure out to find out how much obviously harder it would have been. And I know zine culture is like maybe
harder and but more local. I mean, so you would have to go physically to and find people.
Like, yeah,
you know, required you to walk.
You'd
into
have
a
to
venue.
Walk out the door.
Yeah, go meet.
Get
people.
Dressed. Get out of your sweats. And get dressed up. Walk out the door, and that was part of the glamour of it and the fun. It's like, And of course, as we all know, there was the bars still closed out at 1 p.m. until at 1 a.m. Right up until the early 90s. So.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
One.
And in fact, Sunday's 11.
Really?
So yeah. What were you doing after the fact?
There were speakeasies. I mean, there was Toronto was like had more speakeasies than any other city in North America and like the planet practically. I mean, it was just... There was so many speakeasies that they were just plastered all over the place, and they would come and go, and they were pretty wild too. I mean, that was part of it, just seeking out those places to drink after hours, but in terms of like the queer bars, there were a lot of people going back and forth from New York, and there was an influence there, and you had the Pariah and Twilight Zone, and you know these kind of pretty glamorous. Where I saw like. The Gun Club at Pariah, like it wasn't even a kind of advertised show or something. Whoa. You know,
so this is here.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And Toronto has always been on the map. Yes. You know, on the international.
No,
map.
And it's thankfully it is a place where you know musicians things come through. Yeah. It's a stop on the road. Yeah. Thankfully.
Yeah. For sure. I don't like to be an old fart who goes, oh, it was so much better back then. Yeah. I mean, because obviously there's a lot going on now. And you know, one thing I realized about Toronto was around like the year, just before 9/11, 9 months before, in fact, I started dating this Shia Muslim guy. And I met him at a bathhouse at the Barracks, which was the S&M bathhouse that used to be right down beside like where the Scotiabank Theatre is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. It's insane to think of that.
It was on a Widmer on this small side street, and it was like a four-story Victorian house, and it was like all dedicated to S&M. Yeah. There were slings and like glory holes and the whole bit, but it was the more S&M bathhouse. And I ended up meeting him there.